ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Our next segment is our weekly ShareCare Healthmakers interview. The ShareCare Healthmakers series brings together the best minds in medicine, wellness, science, and technology to provide candid, thought-provoking insight into their respective fields. They also share their visions and concerns, from the future of healthcare to using technology to manage an aging population to how diet and exercise can alter our genes. Today we'll be listening to Adam Bosworth, co-founder and CTO of Keys, an employee wellness provider. He'll be explaining how casual gaming can have a significant impact on people's habits and behaviors in terms of healthy living.
If you look 25 years ago, we were far less overweight than we are now, almost a third as much, which is enormous. In other words, we've almost tripled. And in the really, really serious obesity, morbid obesity, we've gone up sixfold. So there's no question we have changed our society for the worse in terms of our health habits dramatically in the last quarter century, which is not a long time. And, you know, I think it is a combination of two things, a sort of a terrible confluence. One is we are a higher stress society than we were. We live in a global economy. Your confidence in your job is much lower. Your tenure in a company is much shorter. You know, your need for double income is often much higher, which means if you do get laid off, your ability to maintain your lifestyle is much more precarious. Many more people borrowed much more money on their houses, which left them much more, less secure. And at the same time, the food companies revolutionized how they built food to maximize the addictive quality, which unfortunately was done by maximizing the salt, sugar, and fat in these foods for what they rather gruesomely call the bliss point. And so all of a sudden, the very thing your body has learned to crave, because normally there's not a lot of this in the wild. You know, we had 2 million years of evolution where salt, sugar, and fat were things you would grab while you could get them, because you couldn't normally get them. But now there's no natural thermostat. You know, they're very good at generating demand for unhealthy food. We need to generate demand for wellness. And it turns out this isn't that hard. And the reason it's not that hard is there are two things people do want. They want social support and they want to have fun. They want that as much as they want the instant hit of sugar. And so if you can deliver enough of a hit in a countervailing way in terms of social support and fun around things that are not currently habits of yours, for enough time, you start to change the equation. So I don't think of it as taking responsibility. That sounds like yet one more chore you're going to take on your overloaded shoulders. I think about it as giving people something fun and social to do, but that requires them to do things that they're otherwise not taking time to do, or just eat less. I mean, a lot of it is eating less. Mostly when people are unhealthy, it's because they don't have the right skills. They don't know how to cope. They're fundamentally trying to keep their head above water. They're scared, they're frightened, they're stressed, they're overworked. And the things that they're doing, whether it's smoking or eating crappy food, are a coping mechanism to make themselves feel better in the face of a very difficult existence. And if you walk up to such people and yell at them, lecture them, or threaten them, it has very little effect except to make them put their head in the sand. I think instead, you need to give people better alternatives and a lot of support. So if you offer rewards to not do things that are bad for themselves, and then you offer a lot of support to build up habits that are healthy habits as opposed to unhealthy habits, I think that's a good strategy. Once you've done that, it's really easy to sustain it. And that's the thing we're trying to do. We're trying, you know, we're going to go against basically people eating too much food and not working out. We have to make it a habit. And, you know, what I want to do is figure out what is the most effective way to help these people change their behavior when you have these two forces. You have the force of stress coming from their work, and you have the force of instant gratification, but unhealthy instant gratification, coming from food. And it turns out the only way now to do that is to provide something even more fun than the food. We built a game. There's a strategy. There are things you have to do. There are ways you can win. There are ways you can lose. You have to think about it. There are trade-offs you make. It's like this perfect mix of, it's not too hard. In other words, you don't just give up and throw in the towel, but you actually did enough work that you feel like you deserved what you won. There's an instant dopamine hit. You do something, you get points, you get rewards, you get badges, you feel good. If you look at the brain, it lights up, just the way it lights up if it gets sugar. You know, it's fundamentally getting a reward, and you feel good about that. Couple that with a social network. I'm not of people you don't know. There's no value in that. But of people whose respect you care about. And in this regard, coworkers, interestingly, turn out to be better than friends. And it's not because you don't care about your friend's opinion, but you sort of expect your friends to cut you slack. You don't need to have a persona among your friends. If you do, you've got the wrong friends. But at work, you know, you want to look like a kind of person that people can depend on and respect. And so your coworkers are people you know, but they're people whose respect you want. And so it turns out, and the third thing is, make sure everyone's in the same boat. A lot of what we see in healthcare is singling out the people who are sick. It's natural because they cost the most money. You know, there's a famous study that came out that 5% of Americans cost 50% of our healthcare costs, which put in English means they cost $100K a year on average, if you do the math, which is a really big number. It's kind of an amazing number. But if you signal people, if you single people out, you're stigmatizing them. You know, this has been done a lot in history, and it's usually not had good results. If you don't stigmatize them, if instead everyone is doing the same thing and everyone is playing the same game, then there's no stigma. Now here's the thing I discovered from David Agus, from Dean Ornish, particularly Dean Ornish, from David Kessler. The things you need to do, whether you are sick or whether you are risking being sick or not, are the same. That was the big eureka moment for me. Fundamentally, you've got to eat more veggies. You have got to eat less until your BMI is sort of solidly in the low 20s. You have got to learn how to cope with stress. Dean does a great job in one of his books in describing sort of what stress will do to you and unhappiness. And it turns out it's really easy to cope with stress, which is the irony. And you have to work out. That's it. And I was talking to Dr. David Blumenthal, who ran the Office of National Coordinator for Health and Human Services last week. And he said exactly this. He said, you know, we're focusing on this 5%. He said, we can reverse the disease of all of these people. We can reverse the diabetes. We can reverse the cardiovascular disease. We just have to get them to change their habits significantly. And the habits, it turns out, you need to get them to change are those four. So you don't have to stigmatize the sick. And the game, of course, is rigged, so you do more and more of these four things. The more of them you do, the better you do. Right? That's your encouragement model, because people, when they play a game, naturally play a game to do well. I would describe it more as the right psychology of healthcare. You know, I think if doctors could be retrained, the first thing they would learn is psychology, and the second thing they would learn is nutrition and exercise. They learn none of the three, by the way. Med school doesn't cover any of those as a standard part of the curriculum. And the reason I say that is, you know, this is about motivation. I actually don't care if it was games or something else. I just care if people are motivated to do this. And I don't think, by the way, games are all by themselves the answer. Games by themselves are really more of jump-starting the car than they are of keeping the car running. Social is more the gas that keeps the car running. And so I'm actually more interested in, if you will, the Facebook for Health for Corporate than I am the Zynga for Health for Corporate. You know, as another example, I'm like most nerds, and most nerds are not socially good. Stick us in a cocktail party and we retreat to some corner and stare morosely out at everyone else because we have no idea what to say, even though we might know something. So we need an icebreaker. Now, the thing about the game is it's an icebreaker. Every employee is playing the same game. They're talking about the same tactics. They're talking about the same goals. They're talking about the same quizzes. They can post links to whatever they just did 5 out of 5 of and everyone else can see. It's an instant icebreaker, and it's good for you. So suddenly, you've got, you know, it's like you suddenly turbo, it's like you poured booze into the cocktail party. You know, suddenly you've turbocharged the social network because you've given everyone a common set of things to talk about that are fun and good for them, right? And people like to brag or ask for help. And so fun, either way, you know, I think the game is an important distinction between just being social. I'm saying, simply saying that once you have changed behavior, then it is more about maintaining, and that's a different discussion.
That was Adam Bosworth from ShareCare's Healthmakers Collection. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.